We're continuing in our Lenten series. Last week, the word was testimony, and we talked about some bad news and some good news that came from Isaiah as he was prophesying about Jesus Christ. Today, the word is the word trial. Now, what comes to your mind when you hear the word trial? For most people, it would be a courtroom, it would be a judge, it would be attorneys, it would be the accused, it might even be a jury. However, if you look up the definition of the word trial in our dictionary, you might be surprised to discover that it really doesn't ever refer to a court of law. In fact, here are the definitions. The act of testing or putting to the proof. This, the testing of one's qualifications. Or this, the state of being tested by suffering or temptation. Or this, the hardship of suffering that tries one's endurance. I think about Jesus and all of those. But this one grabbed my attention the most. The dictionary says, the word trial implies the trying of a person in order to establish his or her worth in actual performance. As R.B. said, only he is worthy, and he was tried. So my point is that the trials of Jesus Christ were far more than his appearance before Caiaphas, before the Sanhedrin, before Pontius Pilate and others. I want to talk today about the spiritual trials that Jesus Christ endured. But before we go there, I want to talk to you and to me. Let's talk about us. What kind of trials do we endure in this lifetime that we live? How do we respond when we have to prove ourselves, when we have to suffer through trials? I want to tell you a story about Chippy. Chippy was a very happy little parakeet. Chippy loved to sing all day long in his cage, chirp. One day something happened to Chippy that he did not see coming. His owner came to the cage and wanted to clean his cage as usual with the vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the vacuum cleaner and she went into the cage and stuck it in. At that moment, the telephone rang, and when the telephone rang, she quickly turned to get the phone without thinking, and swoop, Chippy was sucked up into the vacuum cleaner. As soon as she discovered it, she was struck with horror. She threw down the vacuum cleaner. She threw down the phone. She opened the bag, and she found poor Chippy inside the bag of the vacuum cleaner, still alive, but of course covered with dust. So she took Chippy in her hands, and she took Chippy to the bathroom, and she put Chippy under the faucet, and she ran the water on Chippy to get the dust off. And Chippy, of course, was cold and shivering, so she did what any good parakeet lover would do. She took out a hairdryer and she began to dry Chippy with the hot air on the hairdryer, and Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days later, a friend asked her, "How is Chippy?" And she said, "Well, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." And you would too. I mean, he had been sucked up and washed up and blown over. He suffered. And when you are sucked up and washed up and blown over, how do you respond to it? When trials come upon us, and there's 100% probability that that's going to happen, we often feel powerless. We feel helpless. There's no longer a song in our hearts. We just want to sit and stare. Been there? Done that? An army chaplain had a sign on his door. He said, "If you have troubles, come in and tell me about them. If you don't have troubles, come in and tell me how you do it." Jesus said, we all face trials. Paul said, we all face trials. James said, we all face trials. He said more in chapter 1, "Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 1, "These trials have come so that your faith may be proved genuine." That's all good. But you and I know that when we suffer trials because other people cause us to suffer, we often feel hurt. And hurt people tend to hurt other people. But when God feels hurt, God heals. For by His stripes we are healed. Are you in trials right now? Are you in pain right now? Are you suffering right now? Are you being tempted right now? Remember this promise in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. In that passage, the biblical words temptation and tempted could be interchanged with the words trial and tested. Brothers and sisters, God has promised that He will not allow you to be tested or tempted or tried beyond what you are able to bear. Of course, we don't always feel like that, do we? And we don't always talk like that, do we? We don't always act like that, do we? But God does not lie. God is totally dependable. There is hope for us. You will never walk alone. No matter how deep the pit may seem, Corrie Ten Boom said this, God is deeper still. Okay, now let's talk about the trials of Jesus, the spiritual trials of Jesus Christ and the temptations. First one, Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. The word infirmities means sickness. You get sick. The word sorrows means grief. You do grieve. Both of those are awful things that are dumped on us as a result of original sin. Jesus Christ picked them up and He carried them for you. And He still does. One of the spiritual trials of Jesus is that He has to carry your burdens. One of the most moving places that you could ever visit is in Washington, D.C., the Vietnam Memorial. Almost every day since 1982, when people come to that memorial, you see them weeping and hugging one another and remembering. But no one ever expected them to do what they do, and that is to bring mementos of their loved ones there, something to help them remember. They bring so many different things. You've seen them, haven't you? Photos, clothing, boots, toys, flags, dog tags, and so much more, all symbols of their grief. Almost every night, the members of the National Park Service, who are the caretakers of the Vietnam Memorial, have to gather those items. It takes them more than an hour almost every night to gather them. And then they take them 12 miles away to a warehouse where they catalog and keep each of those items. There are 58,000 names on that wall. And as of today, there are over 500,000 articles cataloged and kept in that warehouse in Washington, D.C. Jesus Christ is our caretaker. He carries all of our sorrows and all of our griefs, and he carries far more than 58,000 people worth. You can take your grief to him at any day, at any time of day, and he will carry it. He will care for you. Continuing in verse 4 of Isaiah 53, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. That's the same message we read in the book of Job. Job was stricken and smitten and afflicted. And the common response of just about everybody was, he must have deserved it. He must have deserved it. That's kind of the mentality of the day. One of the spiritual trials of Jesus Christ was for the people to look at him carrying his cross through the marketplace of Jerusalem and to think, he must have deserved it. He must have deserved it. Here's another one, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Cliff Barrows is one of the godliest men I have ever known. He was the song leader and the choir director for the Billy Graham Crusades. And Cliff tells a story about his two children, Bobby and Betty. They did something really bad, something terrible. They were scolded and they were told, never do that again. But of course they did. And Cliff knew what God said in the book of Proverbs about disciplining a child, and he believed that the discipline included spanking, but he had such a tender heart, he just could not bring himself to spank his children. So this is what he did. He called Bobby and Betty into his bedroom, and he said, you have to be disciplined for your behavior. He took off his belt, and then he knelt by his bed, and he lifted his shirt, and he said, each of you, give me 10 lashes with my belt. And the children started protesting. No, Daddy, no. Yes, you have to be disciplined. They sobbed, and they sobbed, and finally they started whipping the flesh of their father. Oh, how they protested. When it was over, Cliff hugged them. He wept with them. He prayed for them. And later he described it. He said, oh yes, it hurt, but I never had to spank them again. One of the awful spiritual trials of Jesus Christ is that he took the wounds that we deserve on himself. Here's another one, Isaiah 52, verse 6. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sheep are not only considered dumb animals, they are notoriously unaware of what's going on around them. They just have one thing on their mind, the next clump of grass. They get lost all the time. They can't find themselves. They get into dangerous situations and they need a shepherd. One of the spiritual trials of Jesus Christ is that he has to be a shepherd of countless dumb sheep like us. Here's another one, Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and afflicted. He did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. I've never been to a meat packing plant, and I hope by the grace of God I never do visit one. I've read about them, and I've seen television documentaries about them. cows moo and moan as they're approaching the slaughter. Pigs squeal with horror as they are approaching the slaughter. But sheep and lambs are silent. Even when they cut the jugular vein, they are silent. Jesus Christ was not called the cow of God. He was not called the pig of God. He is the Lamb of God. You and I may be like sheep who go wandering off all over the place, but you and I are more like cows and pigs when it comes to suffering. We moan and we squeal and complain. One of the spiritual trials of Jesus Christ is that he has to listen to us in all of that. Yet he chose to be silent in his slaughter. We could go on and on about the spiritual trials of Jesus and all he had to endure, but I want to just go with one more. Mark 15, verse 25. It was the third hour when they crucified him. In the Jewish clock, the third hour is 9 a.m., and 9 a.m. was one of the required hours for the devout Jew to pray. Mark 15:33. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. That represents 12 noon and 3 p.m. 3 p.m. was also one of the required times for the Jews to pray every day. And when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, he was praying. To whom were the people praying? They were praying to their Heavenly Father, of course, but they were like dumb sheep. They were totally unaware of the circumstances around them and that God himself was hanging there, God, before them. Mark 15:34, and at the ninth hour, 3 p.m., Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was his prayer at 3 o'clock. But even more agonizing was what was going on during those hours in the busy streets of Jerusalem, because that was the day of preparation for the observance of Passover. And the preparation centered around money. You see, all the farmers, all the guys brought in their lambs into the city, and they were bartering and trying to sell them for the best price for the sacrifice that was about to come. You can experience that today if you go to Jerusalem on any Friday, the day before Shabbat, the day before Sabbath. You can go right to the city walls of Jerusalem, and you will see the farmers there selling their lambs. Bartering. Noisy. My price is best. Come get mine. It's smelly. There's a lot of chaos and cries. People are even arguing about the price. Money, money, money more than ministry. On his day of crucifixion, the Lamb of God carried his cross through that same area where the people were bartering for the price of a lamb. And he was paying the price. And they didn't even realize it. The physical trials of Jesus Christ are beyond comprehension to us. But perhaps even worse are the spiritual trials of Jesus Christ. Beyond comprehension. And they still are. They're still ongoing. You know, when Christians come together to worship Jesus Christ, sometimes they are more concerned about ritual and liturgy and style of worship and music than they are about Christ. When Christians come together to worship, sometimes they are more concerned about money than they are about ministry. Obviously, we should always examine ourselves. Obviously, we should always ask ourselves, and ask the Holy Spirit, actually, to forgive us, convict us, help us stay true to the Lamb of God. None of us wants to add to the spiritual agony of Jesus Christ. All of us want to honor Him who is worthy. I close with this. The great Dutch painter Rembrandt is known for his vivid paintings of the crucifixion. In all of them, the cross is central. The Lamb of God, the Lord God, is central. And then your eyes move on the canvas to the faces of the people around the cross. Some of them are in agony over what they're seeing, and some are indifferent to what they're seeing. But then if you examine the canvas carefully and your eye goes to the edge of the canvas, you will see a lone figure standing there in the shadows looking on. And that is a self-portrait of Rembrandt himself, because he recognized that by his own sins, he also helped to nail Jesus Christ to the cross. Do you? Heavenly Father, it is hard for us to grasp the suffering, the pain, the spiritual agony of the cross of Jesus Christ. It just doesn't seem right to say thank you in the same sentence, Lord, but we thank you that you endured that for us. And Lord, may we live our lives in such a way that your agony decreases. May we honor you and love you and worship you and live you and share you in ways that cause your face to shine upon us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.